Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass.
Thanks, Tass. Our next guest is Lord Mayor Sally Capp. Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Good morning, Macca and Tass. Hope you are well.
Oh, look, we are. Now, I've got to tell you, there was an incident out there.
Are we talking via a walkie-talkie or something this morning?
You got your face pressed up against the window again?
I have, unfortunately.
Oh, we've got a shocking line this morning. We have a shocking line. Try that again, maybe in a slightly different position, Sally.
Oh, no,
It's
not. I need to take a photo. It's embarrassing.
It's actually not working at all. We can barely hear you.
Say something.
It is one of the side effects of working in isolation, isn't it? And working from home, we all have learnt a whole new vernacular, like mute. Are you on mute? Can you please unmute, Sally? Can you hear us?
I think it's fun when they're on mute, not.
Okay, we're going to have to ask you to try somewhere else where you are, because we're only getting... Keep going.
Hello.
We think that's better.
That's better.
All right. I'm now actually on the roof of the building.
Oh, on the roof. Please don't fall off.
Okay.
Look, good morning. I was saying I think it's funny when people think they're on mute, but they're not.
Yes, that is funny.
And
yes,
all of the funny sounds and things that people say and do.
Yes.
I know, it's pretty disturbing. Now, I've got to tell you, Sal, there was an incident out the front of Joy on Thursday this week. You know the bike racks that are out the front of Joy, you know, for people to attach their bike?
Yeah.
One of our Joy presenters, his bike was stolen by them cutting the lock. And he went across to the police station and they said that's the second bike today.
What? All right, we'd better do something about that.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure what other than, people pinching people's push bikes, I think. Yeah, but actually travelling, you know, with probably a bolt cutter or something, you know, to obviously cut the chain on the lock.
Yeah, that's terrible. Well, we'll let the police know as well.
Okay. Now, Sal, we wanted to talk about, and I've got to tell you, the donut balls that I made this morning are fantastic. We've eaten them, though. Your share's gone.
Oh, well, I'm sure they were put to good use, Macca.
They were.
Yes, it's called our waistline. It's called our waistline, ever-expanding COVID curves.
Yeah, the COVID curve.
Or the pandemic paunch.
Pandemic paunch, yes. We can call it the pan paunch. So, Sal, I wanted to talk about the average pedestrian count in the city, and I see this because I come into the city a couple of days a week. There's virtually no one around, and I give you a little... I know you've got a statistic for us, but Lygon Street, when I was driving in this morning, from Elgin Street to Victoria Street, do you know how many parked cars I counted in Lygon Street for that distance on both sides of the road? 21.
Compared to what, Macca?
Well, compared to there not being any spots vacant.
Mm.
So 21 cars. But I have one other question, Sal. Sorry, you may not know. In the middle of the road on the little divider, there's some poles that have lights on them. Some are green, some are red. What are they?
Oh, David. Was that nice? Sorry, I'm really battling this morning with connection. Were you talking about the new lights on Lygon Street that have been put up in the trees?
Yeah, so they're on poles. Some of them are red.
Yeah, part of our lighting in Melbourne. I hope you can hear me.
I can.
Only just.
They do, they're multicoloured. We actually had a call, it was one of your rang in yesterday when I was with Dean and Anna Murphy talking about the program, and one of the listeners called me getting confused by the green, red and white of the traffic, multicoloured. So we'll be able to have but that we've also installed new lights in Little Bourke Street in Chinatown. We've got some other projects that are coming up.
Sally, it sounds like you're talking from underwater.
You sound like you sound like a Dalek.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not working actually.
If I hung up and I called you back.
Give it a buzz. Give it a go.
How about you do that?
Give it a go.
We'll give it another go.
Macca, we've had a few questions, of course, from listeners.
What's wrong with using a landline for interviews? Well, I don't think
Who has a landline?
I don't think...
Put your hand up if you have a handline.
I think a landline, not a handline. I think where Sally was talking to us from is at home, and she doesn't have a landline.
But who does have a landline?
I don't have one anymore. Macca? I don't have one anymore. Look, we always try and get a landline or ask people, to ensure that, we can hear them properly, because when it's like that.
It's like underwater. It's
I do
terrible.
That rather well, don't I?
You do, actually.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going to quickly preview. We've got Adele Ferguson coming up in the segment after this one. And for those of you who perhaps didn't see it, Adele, in cooperation, Fairfax, in cooperation with the ABC, did a Four Corners show on the workers' compensation system, and... instead of it acting as a safety net for sick and injured workers, this multi-billion dollar system has become a gravy train for insurance agents, consultants and other nefarious hangers-on. The problem is that employers are paying greater premiums, workers are not getting the service and the attention that they deserve, and the people in the middle, they're getting fat off it and they're making a lot of money. In particular... the New South Wales government scheme, which is called iCare.
I
think they don't care. The New South Wales Treasury have warned that that fund, the state fund, needs $4 billion injected into it this year so it doesn't fall into deficit.
Macca, one moment. I think I've got Sally back on the internet connection, so let's try this. Sally, hi, are you there?
Paul, I am.
Sally, you're live on air back with Macca and Tass.
Yay! I am now in a dark closet up against the NBN connection.
Well, it's not the best quality, but we can hear you and you're not breaking up. So
I'm so sorry.
Thanks for enduring with that. So, Sal, we wanted to talk about... So, pedestrian traffic is down by what percent versus last year in the city?
Well, we're down about 85% year on year. So we are missing about 800,000 people not coming to the city. We're encouraged that people are listening to the restrictions, but of course it's devastating for the city economy.
That's a huge drop. And that's done by the pedestrian counters on the footpaths, isn't it, and at particular crossings?
That's right, yeah. So almost 40,000 people would come in and out of... Flinders Street Station every day, and it's down to about 4,000.
Wow. Now, I suppose one area that is potentially being, that is lifting a bit is the council's fast-tracked...
Before you go on to that, Macca, tell us a bit more about the impact, the economic and the social impact that this epidemic's having on the city.
Yes, well, I'm sure you see it as you're walking around town or even your neighbourhoods, but particularly in the city, we are dependent on the workers that used to come in every day, almost 500,000 of them. We're dependent on visitors that would come from interstate and international. There's almost another 200,000 of those. So without our normal pedestrians and customers and people that like to enjoy our cafes and restaurants, or pop in and buy something special in a retail shop, you can imagine there's a lot of economic devastation. I think people are feeling really flat because the uncertainty at the moment means that, you know, there's a hope that comes when you can see the finish line or you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And at the moment, we can't see that. It's amazing how resilient and ingenious people are. So a lot of businesses that are doing online and takeaway, of course. Tonight, actually, it's my birthday. So tonight we are having a very special meal from Grossi Florentino. And who would have thought that from beautiful white tablecloths in their mural room upstairs to family sitting in the apartment that we would be able to have that beautiful food. But that's the sort of effort that our restaurants and cafes are going to make sure they can keep people employed.
Well, on behalf of our team, Sally, happy birthday to you today.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking a bit of time out to chat with us.
National Sally Day.
The Festivus of Sally.
Is it a significant birthday?
No, it's not, and we don't need to discuss it, Tess. Thank you very much.
Now, Sally, we've got a question here from one of our listeners. They say that they read about New York and other major cities across the world closing streets to traffic and expanding restaurant eating zones across the road to enable more social distancing. Is this something that Melbourne City Council is thinking about?
Definitely, and it's great when we can get ideas from other cities around the world. We, just as the restrictions were easing, we were extending on-street dining so that people could really spread out, and I think that natural caution, even as we do come out of lockdown outdoors, bringing exhibitions outdoors will certainly be a theme. So we're looking at that. We have seen in Domain Road, South Yarra, we've taken some parking spaces that have been extended to create tables and chairs and waiting spaces for people buying coffees, and that's been very popular. So we're also looking at the possibility of doing that.
It's a great idea.
That's a nice segue into bike lanes.
Yes, it is.
Because I know that what's been happening there is, you know, you fast-track some, I think, Drummond and Faraday Streets and I think Albert Street in East Melbourne, is that right?
We are. We are fast-tracking protected bike lanes. They are really important. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, look, we might have to let it go, I think.
Hello?
Hi, Sally. We can hear you, but there seems to be quite a delay.
Don't know what happened. Gosh, you're so patient. Yes, we...
Okay, look, I think we might let that go. We've tried and tried and tried, and it's just not working. Sally, if you can hear us, just know that we always enjoy our chats with you, and we will look forward to our next one. We might actually try to fast-track the next one once we establish a much more secure line. Macca, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, that's right, but I've actually got here what I want to talk about next is some of the heritage protection that the City of Melbourne's planning.
But we're not going to talk to
Sally. We'll not talk to Sally, but we can give people a little bit of detail.
Oh, of course,
About it. So hang up on Sally, Paul. Let's hope we're having a big problem. So, City of Melbourne have undertaken a review in the HODL grid, and it's recommended permanent heritage control for, I think, for over 100 properties and the five precincts within the grid. And I think almost half of those buildings are post-war buildings, so built between 1945 and 1975. That's a pretty comprehensive review, Tass, because what it includes, you know, there's a couple of hotels, post office, cinema, women's club, telephone exchanges, retail and commercial buildings. And it is actually our heritage. And a lot of these buildings, you don't know they exist until you actually go past them or they're pointed out to you. And it's contributed so much to the life about the city. And it's not just about age, Tass. It's about places that have played an important role in the community. And you know, post-war there was a construction boom. A lot of modernist buildings were constructed. And City of Melbourne thinks it's an opportunity to protect our modernist architectural legacy. And I think that's really important, rather than not acknowledging them and not protecting them. It's a great initiative by the City of Melbourne, and it is quite a widespread survey. It's actually on the City of Melbourne website.
Yeah, Macca, I had a look at that during the week, and I had a look at some of the buildings that were listed or proposed to be listed. I got a bit excited, actually, because even though some of them are pretty damn ugly, like the one on the corner of Elizabeth Street and, is it Flinders Street? It's a funny little hotel-looking building. It's lots of concrete with a bad mural on the side.
Elizabeth and Flinders.
Elizabeth.
And Flinders Street.
Yeah. Or is it... it is Flinders. I think it is Flinders.
Yeah.
It's a pretty unattractive... Is it Hosier Hotel, perhaps? It used to be there. Funny little building. I actually recall having gone there as an adolescent for a drink once.
Oh.
You were never an adolescent.
was that pre-decimal, Tass?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
Message here from Sal. She says, sorry for the bad connection. So sorry we couldn't get the connection. Sending us love and best wishes for continued good health. Look, we'll try and cover off, in terms of the things you were talking about. But sorry, Tash, you were talking about as an adolescent getting on the beers.
the point is that I thought some of the buildings were actually really interesting. Not all attractive buildings, but they are part of our history. They are part of the fabric of who we are as a society. And I think it's important to preserve some of those.
It is.
If we tear it all down, we end up, looking, plastic and new. And, I mean, bits of the city, I think, are looking pretty tacky at the moment, Macca, because what you've got is what I call perfume bottle-shaped buildings. They desperately try to look different and interesting, and they actually end up looking tacky, tacky and unattractive, and they've got streaks of colour in them, a bit like perfume bottles.
Yeah. Is that because perfume bottles are all different, Tass?
Well, it may be, but they just look tacky in my view, rather than actually trying to create some really good design guidelines and preserve some of our history. We just get more of this sort of silliness almost.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, I mean, there are bits of the city that I don't find that attractive anymore, but there are other bits of the city that I really enjoy walking around and I love seeing some of our historical and heritage architecture.
So I say to our listeners, go to melbourne.vic.gov.au/news-and-media. Post-war buildings recommended for heritage protection. It's quite interesting. There's some buildings there that... they ask, was this page helpful? Shall I say yes or no? I'll say yes.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.